Good morning. I invite your prayers as I begin to preach God's word today. Father, thank you for this extraordinary celebration in preparation for Easter, the beginning of Holy Week, this Passion of the Palms. We pray, Father, that your presence will be here very powerfully over the airwaves and around the world this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, Dee Dee. 1,000+ miles away. It's great to have the opportunity to say good morning to you. Now I'll begin the sermon. I think this is probably one of the very few times in history when Palm Sunday has been our own experience. We're under quarantine. The Jewish people on Palm Sunday were under quarantine. They were under the Roman rule, which was rigid. It was as if martial law was present for them, and they were longing for the end of quarantine. They were hoping that somebody would be a hero and come up with a cure or an inoculation or some sort of serum treatment. They were desperate for this time period to be over. But here's the distinction between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. Palm Sunday is the people's Easter, and Easter Sunday is God's Easter. And I'll make that distinction. What is the people's Easter? It is by Passover, by next week, we want this to be over so we can get our lives back, so we can go back to how it was. And God's Easter is by next weekend, I'm wanting you to go back to the way your life was intended, not to the way it was. We'll see that distinction through three different ways this morning. One through looking at the crowd, one through looking at the donkey, and one through looking at the gate which Jesus went through. So three dimensions which will help distinguish between the people's Easter and God's Easter. Let's begin with the donkey. Here's a picture of a donkey, and I'm going to let the camera settle on that for a minute. All donkeys look pretty similar. They all have the same markings, which I'll talk about in a minute. I'm pretty confident that God can speak through this donkey. He's done it before. Balaam was a prophet who got mad with his donkey and started beating the donkey, and the ass turned around and spoke to Balaam. So I'm pretty confident this morning that God can speak through an ass. You'll tell me whether history is repeating itself or not later. All right, donkeys. What the heck was Jesus doing coming into town on a donkey? Now, I think if you look at that through the Western mindset, what do you think is, here's Prince Charles going to Westminster Abbey for his coronation as king, riding in a Ford. As I drive a Ford, I think that's only appropriate. It feels like this is so wrong. This is so off. This doesn't work. Well, that's the wrong metaphor. That's looking at the donkey through the eyes of 20th century, 21st century people. The donkey was a well-respected animal in those days, not so much today. The donkey was known for its reliability, its strength, its faithfulness, its hard work, and it was known as the beast of burden. It was the burden bearer. Many a king had come in on a donkey, as well as what you might have expected, a horse. But the distinction is that those who came on the horse were ready to kill, and those who came on the donkey were ready to institute a kingdom of peace. This is not a Ford and a Rolls Royce. This is probably a Bentley and a Rolls-Royce metaphor. And we haven't finished with our donkey. Back to the picture. What do you see on the back of that donkey? I think you see a cross. All donkeys have a cross on their back. No other animal in history has had a cross on their back. Jesus was to have a cross on his back. And so how appropriate that he would ride in on a donkey. Legend has it that this particular donkey that Jesus came into Jerusalem showed up at the crucifixion, and he couldn't stand looking at the crucifixion and turned away, and the shadow of the cross came and fell on his back and seared into him, into his DNA, the image of the cross. Well, I don't believe that happened for a moment, but it's an interesting story. The donkey is Jesus' choice to come into town. The people's choice would have been a horse, because the people's Easter is one of revolution and battle and getting rid of the plague, the Romans. And that's the end of the story. We want this battle over. We want life back to normal. Now, I said there were three things. So that my first thing is the donkey. The second thing is, let's look at the crowd. The crowd are so excited that they think they found a cure to the Roman virus. They are ecstatic. They're out there in their numbers because they want their life to be better. They want this person, Jesus, to resolve their issues. And of course, Jesus wants them to resolve his issues. He wants them to be part of his kingdom, and they want him to be part of their life. The crowd lays down their cloaks and their palm branches on the ground, and Jesus comes into town. Now, you need to know the geography to get a sense of where the crowd were and what they were doing. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, which is the most extraordinary experience, you come in from Ben-Gurion and you go for 20, 30 miles up a winding road on the west side of Jerusalem, finally to the plateau, to the tabletop mountain, Jerusalem. But on the east side, the opposite side to the way you come in, is the East Gate, known as the Golden Gate, which we'll come to that in a minute. But if you go from the Golden Gate on the east side down the Kidron Valley and up to the next tabletop mountain, two tabletop mountains, you've got Mount of Olives and Jerusalem. And right on the edge, on the bluff of the hill, Mount of Olives, is Bethpage, where the donkey situation happened. And then you've got Bethany, where Jesus is coming from to Bethpage. And then he's going to go down the Kidron Valley to Gethsemane, to the garden there, and then into the East Gate, the Golden Gate, and up to the Temple Mount. That's the geography. The crowd have lined the valley, down Kidron Valley, down and to the East Gate. They're cheering, and they're anticipating that this triumphant ruler will come in and resolve the issues. There have been some people in history, of course, who've laid down cloaks. You might know the story. It's probably true. Sir Walter Raleigh laid down his cloak to let Queen Elizabeth avoid a puddle. And of course, there are a few puddles in England, so you'd think quite a few people had to do that for the Queen. But we only remember Walter Raleigh. It's a sign of deference to royalty to lay down your cloak. There's a symbol there, isn't it? It's laying down part of who you are. There's a cost in this. Obviously, this crowd wasn't prepared to pay the cost of their own life. They'll pay their coat, but nothing more. Let's come to the gate. This East Gate, it's actually walled up and has been for a century or two. The Golden Gate, which we assume will be opened for the Second Coming. The Jews believed that the Messiah, when he came, would come through the Golden Gate. And Jesus is about to come through this Golden Gate. If you were in Israel, and this was the first century, probably in about 4 days' time, the people in Jerusalem in the temple would send to Bethpage and gather up a paschal lamb. And the paschal lamb would be led down the Kidron Valley, down to Gethsemane, and through the Golden Gate, and back up to the Temple Mount, ready for the sacrificing of the Paschal Lamb. It's a very significant gate. But there's one more piece of history concerning this Golden Gate. When the Jewish people were previously under quarantine, under the Seleucid Empire, and the Seleucids had filled the temple with Greek gods and idols, finally, in 167 BC, Judas Maccabeus came into town, and you can guess what he was riding. It wasn't a donkey, it was a horse. He came in for battle, and he went down the Kidron Valley from the Mount of Olives, past the Garden of Gethsemane, through the Golden Gate, straight to the temple, and cleansed the temple of all these idols. The reading that follows, the one we've just had read for the gospel, is the cleansing of the temple, where Jesus cleanses the temple. Jesus is going to go through the Golden Gate as the Paschal Lamb, as a Judas Maccabeus, but for a reign of peace. And instead of sacrificing the Romans, he will sacrifice himself. He will be the sacrifice at Passover. His sacrifice will bring in a reign of peace, peace at multiple levels. Because God's Easter is about not removing some external virus so we can get lives back together as they used to be, but it's bringing peace at a level which is a level between God and people, the restoring of that wonderful relationship so people can adore God, worship God, delight in God. You have to get used to that because you'll be doing it in heaven for the rest of your life, for eternity. And so that part of you that needs to adore God, to love God, to delight in God, is being woken up through this sacrifice. This sacrifice of Jesus is going to bring peace between people. Instead of ideologies and political regimes creating such extraordinary enmity as we see at this present time, God's reign of peace will draw us beyond those things to a place where there is unprecedented peace. Not ideological peace, but peace within the human heart, so that people will find their destiny, their purpose, their meaning and significance, and God's reign of rule will come to be in their hearts. This is what we look forward to in this coming week, to experience God's Easter. May God bless you. Amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. We worship you, we worship you. You are here, healing every life. We worship you, Lord, we worship you. You are here, turning lives around. We worship you, we worship you. You are here, mending every heart. worship you. Oh, we worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here. Move.